Oh, look, there's probably a third of us here. Us Scottish people get really cheap even at Christmas time. And we've got this tradition in my family that once you turn to 15, you don't get a present. You get one present put on the pool. And we play the present game. And so the present game is, yeah, everyone buys a present worth $20. It goes in the basket. When all the little kids have had their presents, the 15 pluses get to open up a present. And so you reach in, starting normally with the oldest person in the family, take out a present, unwrap it. If you like it, you keep it. If you don't, you take someone else's present if they've already unwrapped it. And you can do up to 3 swaps. And so instead of buying copious numbers of presents, us Scotchmen just buy 1 plus presents for the little people. The interesting thing is watching the 15-year-olds. When they've come out of childhood, they're young adults now, and they're now in the present game with the grown-ups in our family. There's big presents and there's little presents in that basket, and the 15-year-olds always go for the big ones. They reach and they grab a big one, even though someone's probably going to take it off them before the game's finished. And they think the bigger the present, the more special it's going to be. There's an old phrase that says that good things come in small packages. That's true of my wife. It's true of many, many things in life. And it's true of the present game. So often the very best presents that you get for $20 are tiny. And so the teenagers reach in, they grab the big ones and they get swapped around. The best ones are the small ones. And it's the Christmas story. The best present we were ever given was God giving us a baby. A tiny, tiny package. Looked insignificant. Looked unimpressive. But he was the saviour of the world and the best friend you and I could ever have. Interesting to me that when Jesus was born, his father was Joseph. His stepdad, I guess, was Joseph. And he was wrapped in burial clothes, strips of cloth, and laid. And they said that originally the manger was probably a hollowed out piece of stone. So he was wrapped in burial clothes and laid on a stone by his dad, Joseph. 33 years later, he's taken down from the cross. He's wrapped in same sort of strips of cloth. And he's laid on another stone. Incredible. The symbolism and the prophetic imagery goes all the way through Scripture. An amazing thing, amazing gift came in a small package. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which literally means God with us. You see, for years and years, people have been trying to see God. Oh, they've been trying to connect themselves to God philosophically or morally. They've been looking at the teachings of God and from the Old Testament and trying to work out how to live the Christian life. There's even a time in Genesis 11 when they built the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, it says that they tried to reach up to God. And so they built brick upon brick, and it says the bricks were joined together with slime. And as you know, this tower grew up toward the heavens, toward the clouds. And one day God destroyed it. And he confused the languages of the nations, creating different ethnicities and different languages at that time. Interesting to me, the bricks were built together with slime. And so often, when people say, "I've got my own religion, I've got my own way to connect with God," it's kind of like putting your life together with slime. It's sinfulness. It's selfishness. Who are we as people to say that we know what's best and we know how to connect with God? God gave the message, and it's only through Christ that we can connect with him. Paul said it's a great mystery that God can come to earth as a baby. It was as if God was saying, "I'm going to dwell among you, and then for the first time ever, you're going to see who I am." People had experiences, they'd heard things, they'd seen things, but no one had seen God until Christ was born. Over the years, many, many people have said to me, "Russell, if you show me God, I'll believe." Interesting, Philip once said that to Jesus. He said to Jesus, "Jesus, show us the Father, and if we see the Father, we'll believe." And Jesus looked Philip in the eyes and said, "Philip, haven't you been with me for years? Haven't you realized that I and the Father are one? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." If you're here this morning and you're wondering, what's God like? The answer to that question is very, very simple. He's just like Jesus. He's not like some relative. He's not like some great person you've met. He's just like Jesus. That's what he's like. Over the years, many people have tried to live the Christian life by looking at the Beatitudes and saying, "I want to live the Beatitudes." Or looking at the Ten Commandments saying, "I want to live the Ten Commandments." Or looking at Christ and saying, "What a wonderful example. I want to be just like him." But the truth is they can't. No matter how hard you try, you cannot be like Jesus. You can't. None of us are good enough. None of us have that purity on the inside, naturally. We can't try and always have pure thoughts. We can't try and always avoid grumpiness. We can't always not be cynical or not be negative about things. When the pressure of life comes on, if we're just dealing with our own nature, our own willpower, we're going to muck up. But Christ is with us. He's Emmanuel, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And if Christ is in us, that which was impossible suddenly becomes possible. People say to me, Russell, I've always been like this. I can't change. I go, yes, you can. If you have the person of the Holy Spirit in you, if you receive God's spiritual gifts, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can do the impossible. But I'm always impatient. I'm always grumpy. I'm always frustrated. And I'm always worrying. Then stop thinking about you and trying to be good. And let he that's in you live through you. Let the one who's in you, who constantly knocks at your heart and says, I want to have a say in this issue. I want to direct you in that relationship. I want to help you in that business situation. Let he that's within you, he that's with you and he that's within you, speak through you. Submit to his will and let him guide you. A lot of people look at the gift of Christmas and go, that's beautiful and that's nice, but I can't do it. I can't live the Christian life. And the issue is they haven't taken that little present and unwrapped it. To unwrap it means to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, as I do this day, as I live this day with you, Lord, whisper to me through your Holy Spirit. Show me what to say and where to go and what to do. God says, I want you to speak out. I want you to pray for someone. I want you to prophesy for someone. You go, oh, but I can't. I'm terrified. Christ in you can. So let go of self and let Christ is with you and Christ is in you. Take control. The story doesn't end there with Jesus' example. Colossians 1 verse 27 we read, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I are living in an age, friends, where people say, whatever works for you, don't push your religion on me, whatever works for you. That's nonsense. There's only one way to be saved, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And you and I carry the Holy Spirit. We carry the weighty kibbutz of the Holy Spirit. The presence of Christ dwells in us. And if we just allow him not only to be with us, but to be in us and to be working through us, the presence of God can be taken into our families and into our communities every day of the year ahead. If you try and live the Christian life by your willpower, you're going to fail. But if you try and live the Christian life by putting aside your will and say, no, God, your will, you are Emmanuel, you're with me, and more than that, you're in me. You're going to succeed. You're going to see yourself do this year, things that you never thought were possible. Every day, Christ invites us to let him take control, that his character, which was put in us through the Holy Spirit, flow through us. He wants us to submit daily to him and direct us. If you go in your strength, you'll fail. If you go in his strength, all things are possible. Christ is Emmanuel. And that's incredible good news. God is with us and God is in us. But Scripture goes beyond that. Scripture goes on to say he's not only with you and he's in you, but he's for you. Do you know, there's no one in this universe who wants to see you succeed more, wants to see your relationships go well, your business go well, your health go well. There's no one in this universe that's more for you than God. He's with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He's in you through the Holy Spirit. You're able to do supernatural things if you let him take control, and he's for you. On that first Christmas, the angels went away celebrating. The shepherds went away celebrating. 2017 Christmases later, we too can leave this place celebrating because Christ Emmanuel is with us. He is in us, and Christ is for us. I pray that God will bless us this Christmas with his presence and us with the ability to put aside pride and to let him take control. When we mix with our relatives this Christmas, there'll be people who love the Lord, people who are not interested in God at all. What if you're listening to the Holy Spirit? What if you're saying, God, you're the boss of my life. You're in my life and you're the boss of my life. Lord, show me how to pray. Show me how to speak. This could be the most exciting Christmas your family's ever experienced. Friends, we're going to go through the Christmas story interactively. As a family, we're going to have some fun with it. And so as the actors go and hide behind the stage, I want you to practice telling the Christmas story, at least responding to parts of the story. So I've got Jesse to come forward. So good having angels and people like that in the service, isn't there? It really is. Now, as Jesse holds up these signs, I want you just to respond back with the right sound. The more interactive the drama, the more fun it will be. Where is Jess? Awesome. So grab one for us, Jess. Beautiful, guys. Now, that R is not R excited. That's R, kind of, oh, really? Type of R, okay? Next one. Gasp, shock, horror. Can you do that? Beautiful. Next one. Yay! And the last one. Hallelujah. We're good to go. Let's enjoy the